The theme text is in Colossians 3:2. But too often we give credit to these things to the apostles and to the disciples and fail to realize they come from God. Who's speaking here when he says, set your affections on things above? God is saying that. We've got to ask the question, why? By the way, I may be a little loud this morning. I may wave my hands. I hear it's, 2.5 hours to come up here from Orlando. Some of you got up early to get here. So you may fall asleep. You won't fall asleep with me. And you know, I'll tell you, I love to always walk around like this. You know, these things, I love to walk around. I do this all the time in my work. You know, I don't dare walk around today. But some of you might say, if you walk over and fall flat on your face, you really will wake us up. But some of you still haven't awoken yet. So, don't be offended. I'm going to talk a little loud. I wish I had William. William gave the prayer. All right? I'm learning these for the first time. William gave the prayer this morning. Did he? Albert. William read like a trooper. I mean, I love that voice of his. This is William over here. I'll get you all straightened out. William, you got a voice that's worth money. I wish I had that kind of voice. It keeps everybody awake. But I just wanted to make a point. Too often we give credit. I mean, if you want to talk about that, to Brother Russell. He hasn't got the genius to do what he did. He don't have that genius. Remember, in the Revelation, Jesus says, they're in the palm of my hands. The plan of God came from God. Didn't come from Brother Russell. Oh, he was used, but it's from God. And this, set your affections on things above. Who does that come from? Brother Russell? No. Paul Malley? No. The Apostle Paul? No. It came from God. God is saying something to you and to me. How many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hands. How many want to go? Put it up there if you really... I think most of you, looks like most of you, want to go to... You're going to have to leave Jacksonville. You're going to have to leave, as nice as a place this is. But you know, you can't go there like you are. You got to leave your body behind. You got to leave your looks behind. You got to leave your humanness behind. You got to leave your house behind, your car behind, your family behind, your money behind. You can't take, there's no dollars up in heaven. So God is saying something important. You want to come to my home, he's saying? You got to set your affections up here. Incidentally, his home in heaven is the capital of the universe. The capital of the universe. I'll get to this a little bit more. But set your affections on things above, and you got to set it with what God is saying. I'm going to come to a lot of these things. But set your affections up there if you want to go. You can't go as you are. You can't take your money with you, by the way. It's not used there. Why do we want to go there? I could tell you what I want to do. I want to see God. I really want to see that wonderful being
that has done it all.
It must be an extraordinary experience to be able to see God. And I want to see Jesus. Not the way he was, the way he was 2,000 years ago. You know, the Catholics, I'm a former Catholic. I was born and raised a Catholic. But if you go into the Catholic Church, which some of you may or may not, but recently I went into the Catholic Church, my wife's uncle died. And we try to be respectful to the family, you know. So we usually go into the Catholic Church and then sit in the back or something like that, you know. And we don't participate in their service. But we go there just out of respect. You go in the Catholic Church, the first thing you do is you look at that big, you got a big cross and they see you got Jesus on the cross. A relic. Or some kind of statue. Don't put Jesus on the cross. He's no longer there. He was there 2,000 years ago, but he's completed that. And don't make him look like an Anglo-Saxon. You ever see those Anglo-Saxon pictures? He was a Jew. He looked like a Jew, too. But don't put Jesus on the cross. Right now, he is a risen divine being operating in us. Don't forget. You might say, oh, the Jacksonville class put this convention together. Oh, they did? Oh, maybe. Oh, Paul Malley is down there. Yeah, they wrote him a little invitation. Why am I here? Because Paul Malley wants to come. I'm here because he was up there. They said, go there. All of us. You think Jesus is laying on a hammock, on a couch, doing nothing? If you do, you missed it. And I'm saying, don't put Jesus on the cross, and don't put Jesus doing nothing. And don't think for a minute he doesn't come in. If you're called by him, and only you can answer that, if you're called by him, you'll know it if you're called by him. If you're called by him, he is working with you. He is guiding you. He's developing you. He wants you in his class. And the first thing he's saying, set your affections on heaven. You read the rest of that. It says, set your affections on heaven. Now let's see if I can find. Because ye are dead. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get that out. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth, for you are dead. Oh, wait a minute now. Lord Jesus, how could you say I'm dead? I'm moving around. Can't you see my arms going? You are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the whole text in Colossians 3, 2-3. What did he mean? You were dead to humanness. You gave up all your human rights. That's the biggest sacrifice you made, by the way. You know, when the Lord talks about sacrifice, he wasn't talking about cutting the grass for your neighbor. Well, it could be that, but that wasn't what he was saying. The greatest sacrifice you made, and if nobody's told you, I'm telling you now, was that I don't want to be a human being anymore. I want to go to heaven. You gave up those human rights purchased to you by Jesus. You gave that up. That's why it says here, ye are dead in Christ. And he promises us a life with him throughout eternity. Wow, eternity? How do you measure eternity? I gotta ask David. I think he's one of those guys that are quantitative. How many years in eternity, brother? You know, if I draw a line about that long,
Just draw a line like that and say, that's 75 years. That's roughly what we lived to. 75 years. Say, I'm going to draw a line now to compare the 70 years or 75 years with eternity. So I draw a line. I draw the line around the room. Draw some more lines around the room. Around the room. I'm all through with the room. I draw a line around Holiday Inn. Draw a line around Holiday Inn. I draw a line, keep drawing lines. Oh, forget, I'm still on this comparison. Then I draw a line around Jacksonville. Oh, we'll draw a line around Jacksonville. Then we draw it around the United States. Keep drawing, you haven't hit in the end yet. Then we draw around planet Earth. We keep going around planet Earth, then we go around the solar system, and then we go around the Milky Way, and then we go around the universe. Have we come to the end yet? Get an idea of what eternity is like? And if I say you will live that long compared to this, you grasp what our Lord is saying. Set your affections on things above. Don't set it down. Incidentally, you got to leave it all behind. You know, it's amazing. People got mortgages and they preserve their house and only to find that they got to leave it. And commitments of all kinds, even the marriage commitment. When you die, you're no longer married. You got to leave all those commitments behind. And you want to do that. You're saying, I got 75 years. I am sacrificing it for that wonderful hope. For a new home. New home. I call it the capital of the universe. The capital of the universe. You know, just like Washington is the capital of the United States. Just like Hartford is the capital of Connecticut. And just like Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And I think it's going to be the capital of the planet Earth. You're going to move to the home, the capital of the universe. Why? Because God is there. Jesus is there. He's no longer on the cross. We know what he did there 2,000 years ago. We love it. We accept it. We understand it. But don't keep him there. What else do we know about this text when God says, set your affections on things above? He says, I want you to be of the divine nature. Wow. Divine nature. I can hardly speak it, let alone hardly know it. We know some things about it. But divine nature? Let me tell you, it's nothing like you are as humans. Divine nature is life without end. That eternity, that's your life's lifeline. Nor can it ever end. It's the nature of never dying. And I will put a little corollary with that. Never getting old. You know, when I look in a mirror, first thing I see is not my gray hair. I say, you're old. And some of you haven't seen me. Or some of you who have. I mean, Josephine. You know, Josephine and I were together years ago, before Len, you knew her. Before you knew her. Josephine and I were in the same class in Hartford. She's Italian, you know. See, they come from Italy. I knew her way back. And her sister Carm. And some of you may have known Tony. I don't know if you knew him. He was a friend. He was a best friend of mine. And so, you know, we go way back. And so now Josephine looks at me, she said, she doesn't say it, but she says, Paul, you've gotten old. Yeah. That's the first thing I see in the mirror. Divine nature, you don't get old. You understand that? You don't get old. There's no pain in the nature of the divine being. There's no suffering. If I were to ask you to raise your hands, I'm not. But if I were to ask you, how many of you got pain right now? Right now. Even while you're laughing. Divine nature has an energy system, almost like the suns and like the stars. Like a closed cycle system where the helium is converted to hydrogen, and because of the heat it gets back to helium, and on and on and on. The stars don't burn out. Some of them do because the cycle is interrupted. But the cycle continues. The divine nature body has a cycle of never ending within the body. Set your affections on those things. Your body is going. Whether you like it or not. And don't try to stop it. Oh, the vitamins and exercising. I put the, you know, put the TV on. You'll see they're all doing this. What happens? Jack Kemp, I don't know if any of you know him. He was a very outstanding quarterback, football player. He was an athlete. An athlete. Those football players, you know, they are athletes. They practice. You want to see what they do. He died. Jack Kemp. 73 years old. So go ahead with your physical exercising. Go ahead. See if you can extend it. See if you can circumvent it. You're all going to die. Divine nature, you don't die. Is that worth something to set our affections on those things? Divine nature will live in a paradise of beauty and holiness. I think the capital of the universe is a beautiful place. That's our new home. Think about it. You're heading for there. I know I am. I hope I see you there. Never-ending resources. There'll be spiritual music there. Now, we have good music here, I think we'll all agree. Good music. Don't think for a minute this kind of music's going to be up there. Why not? Well, because it needs the ears and the rarefactions of air, the vibrations and so forth. I don't have any air in heaven. Air is only on planet Earth. Then what kind of music is that? I don't know. But I know one thing, the scriptures say, God sings. Now, we talked about wanting to see God. That's an experience. I would also like to hear him sing. Can you imagine the voice he must have? It's the spiritual voice in terms of the spiritual hearing. The divine nature will have skills beyond the human skills. Don't think for a minute the skills you have here will be the same thing as divine. No, there's going to be much better skills. We will have skills of transparency or seeing people. I believe this is something I believe in. I hope you'll agree with me. If not, that's okay. But I believe Jesus, because he has a divine ability, can see in a person whether they're lying or not. He could tell whether you're lying. And if you become a divine being, you will be able to do that too. Do you know that's about 75% of the problems of the world? People lie! Now, you can define lie as exaggeration. You can define it as saying errors. There's a lot of ways. It's all lying. I don't care what you put on. It's all lying. And the divine being, it has the ability to see through you and see what's behind this. Divine nature will have abilities like the speed of thought. In fact, for me, I always picture anything spiritual that we can appreciate now as being anything of thought. That's the closest we can get as human beings and to understand what the Spirit is like. Thought. You take, for example, the prayer that was uttered this morning. What was the name of that brother again? Mike?
Michael.
I like your gray hair, by the way. Michael took us to the presence of God. Do you know where God is? He's not here in Jacksonville. He's not in Connecticut either, which I'd like to have him. He's not on planet Earth. He's not in this universe, too. Unless you have one and argue about there's two universes, there is an argument among scientists that there are two. But he took us with his prayer right to the presence of God. Wow, do you know how fast that takes? Let's see, the Milky Way, and that's our galaxy, travels through space at 500,000 miles per hour. David, when you took me at the airport and drove me here, I think you were going around maybe 30 or 35, 40 maybe or something like that. And that wasn't fast. It was a comfortable speed. I drive a little faster than that. It's not uncommon for me to be up in the 70s, you know. But how does it feel to go 500,000 miles per hour? Do you know how it feels? You're doing it now! You're doing it now! You're sitting here and you are traveling through space at the rate of 500,000 miles per hour. And Michael took us to the throne of God. And he spoke to God. He said, "Hear our prayer, Lord." That's the world of thought, but it's also the spiritual world. Those are the things we're learning about. We will be involved in those things. When you become a divine being, you will exceed the speeds, and it will be death to distance. The death to distance. You will go places you've never been before and fast. Remember when Daniel was praying? When they had the problem of the Satan holding up one of the angels? He prayed. An angel appeared. "Daniel, your prayer was heard." What is this spiritual world that we could easily move that fast? Death to distance. Divine nature is a special reward, and Jesus has made that possible for us. That's what it means to set your affections on things above. There's so many things. I wish we had the time. We don't have the time to talk about what's in the universe. We're going to be involved in that. I'm looking forward to it. I hope the Lord says to me, "Paul Malley, here's a planet over here, way out over here. Do something with it." Oh, I would love that. I would love that. But I believe Jesus and the church will have more creative things to do than we have here on this earth. The number of stars, I can give you all the zeros, but we call it 10 to the 23rd power. You know what that is. 10 to the 23rd power. You know that the number of suns and planets in the earth is 10 to the 43rd power. He's a graduate, just graduated college. Adam? See, I'm getting to remember something. Adam, he just graduated. He knows what 10 to the 43rd power is. How many zeros? 43. That's the number of suns there are. Brethren, we're going into a new kind of life, a new world. Set your affections on these things. The earth's velocity
is 24,000 miles per hour. The earth does this with regularity and never varies. The earth is traveling 67,000 miles in 365 days. There's one other. Oh, gravity. You know, I regard Isaac Newton as a very special scientist. He really is. He wrote about the Bible too, you know, and he talked about many things like that. But he was the one that talked about gravity. Now, how grateful should we be to Mr. Newton? Do you know, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be sitting in this chair? In a sense of knowing what's going on. Gravity holds us together on planet Earth. I'm going to come back to this this afternoon. I have another privilege of speaking to you. So I'm going to come back to gravity. But I want to talk about the map. How many of you have been to heaven and come back? Anybody? Raise your hands. Nobody. Don't you agree with me that if you're going somewhere you've never been, you should have a map? How many of us go AAA? I do it all the time. When I go somewhere I've never been, hey, I got to go to Jacksonville. Show me how to get there. And they're very good at it. Well, you want to go to heaven, you got to have a map. And it was passed out, wasn't it? Passed out. You got the map right in front of you. Now, this is not a physical map. This is not a map in which you physically move. You can't, we made that point. You can't go as you are. You'll never go as you are. You have to leave it all behind. So your focus should not be that. Your focus should be on the things where you're going. This map, if you haven't seen it already, is really the tabernacle. This is the journey of the Christian going from one all the way up to the divine world. See the numbers on the left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 is the divine world. That's where we're heading. This is the map. But it's not a physical map. Then what is it? It's a conditional map. It's the conditions that bring you to these various phases. You started off, you're a human being. You got a genetic package. But you got to leave that behind. Now the tabernacle, incidentally, what's great about the tabernacle, I think the best thing, not because Moses designed it. Moses did not design the tabernacle. I want to make that clear. If you want to argue that point, I'm ready to argue with you. Who designed the tabernacle? God himself. That's what makes this extraordinary. And that's what makes the privilege we have to study it. Because this is the journey you are going to take if you want to go up to the divine level. You'll notice the first one. That's the physical world. That's where all human beings are. How many human beings are there? How many human beings ever lived, by the way? Have you thought about that? I think about those things once in a while. Science says between now and the Ice Age, because they figured the humans came on board right after the Ice Age, they figured 100 billion people have been on planet Earth since the Ice Age. 100 billion, that's a lot of people. And then there's a German professor whom I know from Germany who did some studying along these lines. He says, oh no, he says, I've got the equations. And he showed them to me. It looked very persuasive. There were 60 billion people. Well, that's a good length of people. At least we got some idea how many people are in that number one. And I have my own theory. My theory, if you square 144,000, what do you get? 30,700,000,000,000. Well, at least we got a range. 20 billion up to 100 billion. That's the number of people that ever lived on planet Earth. Before the flood, you figure it out by couples, starting with Adam and Eve and the children they had, all the way up to the flood, there were about 20 million people that died in the flood. Okay, so the second step, we are fascinated with the cross. We have a fascination with the principles of life. We begin to see what life is all about. The third one, all of a sudden we are spirit begotten. The Lord says, I will give you my spirit. And we then begin to live. This is where most of us are. You begin to live as a spirit, or spiritual living, and human living. Both. Remember what Paul says? The spirit, the spiritual creature is in you. So that means we're two creatures. There's two of you. You're still a human, but you are moving into the spiritual realm. Number four, you're beginning to transform yourself, as Paul says in Romans 1:12, 1:2. And number five, you are then translated into the spiritual world. And then, how do we get to the divine world? There's a difference. Now, you may get some arguments on this, but that's okay. We'll get arguments. How do you become a divine being once you're a spirit being? You become that when you live the divine principles. And we'll talk about that momentarily. Divine principles. I will share with you, I think, several principles. But this is a map. It's a map of conditions then, not a physical map. You're not going to get it on the bus and travel. You're going to be changing yourself. You're going to be transforming yourself. You're going to say to yourself, I want to be Christ-like. When you say that, that means you are going to leave everything you are and who you are behind. And you're going to become a new person. The scriptures is clear, you're going to get a new name. You'll be getting a new name. A new being. So, the map helps us find it. We enter the gate at the beginning and go through a series of conditional changes. And I think there are six important stages, and that's what I put in the map there. Now, getting into heaven is seen as a journey into the spiritual world. For the good man is not at home. He's on a long journey. Proverbs 7:19 says that. There are several reasons why the tabernacle has become, in my view, the most important of the biblical types and symbolisms. Why? Because they are the shadow of spiritual things. And second, God designed it. God is communicating with us. And three, God's message of the tabernacle is transformation. You're going to change yourself as you go along. But he says how you can do it. You can do that by thinking, setting your affections on things above. If you set your affections strictly on things on earth, that's where you're going to stay. You want to be a human being. Fine. You won't upset me if some of you say, oh, I want to be a human being. Don't bother me about this divine nature. I'm good. The world is going to be there too. And all the people that ever lived. We're talking about a special people, a special group that want to go not only into the spiritual world, but want to become like Jesus, a divine being. The tabernacle still exists. The tabernacle has not been dismantled. The tabernacle is not gone. It is still here. It is a symbolic tabernacle, a spiritual tabernacle. The tabernacle defines a way to God. It's really a thoroughfare, a passageway like doors between two worlds. The world, our world, and God's world. It takes steps in certain orders to be there. It will require a lot of prayers, a lot of costs. It will cost you a great deal. You cannot go as you are. I think we made that point. When you take the steps of the tabernacle in a deliberate
order, you are being changed from earthly to heavenly. The scriptures say, deep inside of every spirit begotten. If you say to me, I'm not spirit begotten, then I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those who are spirit begotten. Deep inside you lies the mysterious essence of God. You know, God wanted to give a wonderful gift to the human family. He thought about putting it up on a mountain. And then he said, if I put it up on a mountain, only the mountain climbers will get it. I want this treasure that I'm going to give to the human family so that he could reach it. So he thought about putting it down deep in the water. He said, I'm going to put it down there. But the diver is the only ones that can go down there. So where can I put it so that every human being has an opportunity to get that treasure? And where did he put it? Within you. You have that treasure that God wants you to have. The treasure of coming up and living with him in paradise. Gotta watch out what I'm doing here. I gotta move into a parable. Parable of the dog who wanted to be a human being. I don't know if any of you heard of this before. Anybody heard that parable before? Oh, good. Nobody. There was a dog. He's roaming around and he likes the way humans live. You know, humans are pretty good. They eat good. They have a lot of fun. They talk. They go places. I want to be a human being. So I began to share that with some of his dog friends. Hey, is there any way I can become a human being? And everybody said, I don't know. You can't. You know, all of a sudden, one of the intellectual dogs, yeah. You go down to the end of the field, and there's the great one down there. Ask him the question. So the dog runs over to the end of the field and sees the great one. Oh, great one, I love to be a human being. Can you help me? And the great one looks at him and says, yes, I can help you. I can show you how you can be a human being. It's good, I want to do it right now. Quick, change me. And the great one saw a problem here. He saw the dog wants it right away. Quick. So he thought he'd do something. He says, all right, close your eyes. Waved his hand, and the dog acquired a human body. So he looked and said, I'm a human being. So he went for the other dogs to show them that he's a human being. And every time he would go to a human being to talk to them, it would come out barking. Now that's a weird phenomenon, isn't it? A dog looking in a human body and barking like a dog. That's pretty weird. The humans were repelled by that, wouldn't you, if you saw a dog talking to you? Barking? Or a human body barking like a dog? So he kept doing that and he was frustrated. He couldn't reach the human family because he was still talking like a dog. See, this is not going to make it. And it's all of a sudden he starts seeing other dogs. He was barking and the other dog says, hey, there's our friend. Let's go see him. But he had a human body. So they thought that was a weird phenomena. So he decided, or they decided to leave him. He repelled both groups, the humans and the dogs. So he went back to the field with the great one. He said, oh, great one, this is not what I want. I want to become a human being. He says, I didn't think that was. I'll tell you how you can do it. You got to first change your mind. You got to first develop your mind as a human being. You got to think like a human being. You got to conduct yourself as a human being. You got to reckon yourself as a human being. Keep doing that, and your mind will be transformed. And eventually you come here, and I'll give you the body that matches it. Now, friends, we're not talking about dogs into human beings. We're talking about human beings into spiritual beings. How do you become a spiritual being? The Lord says, you have a new creature within you. Transform yourself. How do you transform? Start living like a spiritual being. Be reckoned a spiritual being. Transformation takes time. It doesn't happen. I happen to believe that it's the transformation process that's holding up everything. That we're not being transformed fast enough. But the body must be changed. So it starts up here. Up here, that's where it starts. And you know, science is getting so close to identifying where that is. Because the Bible, you know, in the 7th chapter of Revelation, talks about hold back the four winds. Remember that? Hold back. Until what? Until there is sealing in the forehead. Does that say something? Yes, it says, there's where the transformation occurs. And in transplanting you unto a divine body, transplanting you means I take that new creature which is with, that new creature is not in your legs, it's not in your kidneys, it's not in your ears, it's not in, where is that new creature in you? Right there. Right there. That's why the text says, think on these things. Set your affections. And one day the Lord will take that, leave your body behind, and move you into a new body. Now, this, the chairman hasn't come up yet, so I figured I'm going to keep going. I've got a couple hours. I don't think Ernie will mind. I'll give you six divine principles. I'm just going to mention them. Maybe this afternoon we'll talk about them. Six divine principles. You've got to do things like God does. You've got to love like God. So that's the first principle. Loving like God loves. And God's love is always initial love. Not a reactive love. An initial love. The second is, oh, he's coming up now. Yeah, all the speakers, they regard chairman as the enemy. The second is, love your enemies. God loves his enemies. I'll come back to that this afternoon. In fact, I'm going to hold these principles until next time since the chairman is up here. And I do want to finish with a story. First, I want to say that the opportunity for you to become a divine being is a phenomenal opportunity. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody. It's the greatest achievement. I mean, you might say putting a man on the moon is the greatest achievement. Nah, having a crown of life. The divine nature is greater than that. You might say, being president of the United States, the greatest achievement. No! Having that crown is the greatest. You could cite any kind of achievement, and you will find that the greatest achievement is getting the crown of the divine nature.